Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you.
Today's scripture lesson comes from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, the 11th through the 18th verses. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own. And my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord.
May we pray. Almighty God, the candles on the altar have been lit, signifying that the light of the world has come together in one place to worship. The Christ candle is lit because he has overcome this world, has overcome death, and has promised us life. That's why we can shine. That's why we can be here. That's why we can go from this place and let our light shine. Regardless what the darkness may be, O Lord, you call us to be in the world but not of the world. Grant that to us. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask it. Amen. Whenever we read the text for today, Jesus wasn't just walking around and saying, well, you know, I feel like I'm a shepherd, so I think I'll talk a little bit about that. Jesus talks about things in relationship to other things that happens in the Gospel of John. Before he mentioned being a shepherd, he talked about being a shepherd that protected the sheep, you will recall. He called himself the door or the gate, if you will. He talked about a shepherd gathering the sheep together, and he was the door. You'll recall if you've seen any gate pen or whatever where they keep sheep, there is no door. There is no door. The shepherd lays across the way of the door, so there's only one way in and one way out, and it has to get by the shepherd. No wolf can come in or other sheep can come in or out unless the shepherd is there. And the shepherd probably is a light sleeper. So if the shepherd hears anything, he is awakened and he is aware of what's going on. Jesus says that's who he is. He is the shepherd. God sent him into this world to be our shepherd. Now, before Jesus talked about this in chapter 9, there was a story about a young man who was born blind. You will recall that Jesus came to him and gave him his sight by putting mud on his eyes. Do you remember? He put mud on his eyes. He told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent, S-E-N-T. Because in the Gospel of John, God sends Jesus, and Jesus sends you and me. We are sent people. He goes and he washes, and what happens? He gains his sight back, right? Well, people recognize this and they take him to the authorities in power of the religious factor. And they said, this man who used to be blinded now sees. And they said, well, how have you gained your sight? And he told them what Jesus had done. Of course, the first thing he said that Jesus did is that he made mud to put on his eyes. Well, it happened on the Sabbath. You don't make mud on the Sabbath. If you make mud on the Sabbath, then you have broken the law. You know, there are only certain things you're supposed to do on the Sabbath. You grew up in those times, didn't you? I grew up in those times. You know what's not supposed to happen on the Sabbath. You're not supposed to play cards. There's a lot of things you're not supposed to do on the Sabbath. You're not supposed to mow the lawn. You're not supposed to work. You know, there's a lot of things. You and I grew up concerning the Sabbath. That was our way of honoring it. Well, in the Jewish life, There was a way of obeying rules and regulations. That was their way of saying to God, we love you. We love you. Because there's a lot of things that the law talks about that is non-productive, that we are totally to depend upon God for everything. There was a rhyme and a reason for it all. Of course, when you start putting the law above human need, that's when we get in trouble. And that's where the Pharisees and the Sadducees were. Here you have a boy who was blind from birth. And you'll recall when the disciples saw that, they said, Jesus, who sinned, his mother or his brother? His mother or his father? Who sinned that he was born blind? Well, you recall what Jesus said. Jesus said, neither. Neither. We live in a world today that is broken, and God takes those opportunities to show himself. If one is born blind, to give them sight. If one is lame, to help them to walk. If one is deaf, in order to help them to hear. This broken world is used by God to show who God is. And God has overcome this world and all the things that you and I may face. Each and every day, you and I are given the opportunity of using these things in this world to show God's presence and his good news. The other day, I got a text from somebody that I know is no longer on Facebook. I knew it was a hacker. I wish they'd get a new game. You know what I'm saying? They're so predictable. Because the hackers always start out with, how are you doing today? How are you doing today? Well, I knew it was a hacker. So I said, I'm going to have some fun. I said, I'm doing good. How are you doing today? And of course, you know what they're going to say. Have you heard the good news? And I said, oh, I'm going to have fun now. I typed back, do you mean that he is risen? Yes, I have heard the good news. Silence. Silence. You know, there's many times that you and I can take opportunities, whatever they may be, to share the good news in how we live and how we speak and what we do. Jesus took many opportunities to do that, and he often did it with those who were in this world who were lost. You and I grew up hearing that word a lot, lost. Are you lost? You know, the word lost means to be out of place. To be in place means to be in relationship with God. That's when we are found through Jesus Christ. Jesus was a shepherd who would go out and find sheep, not of his fold, that belonged in his fold. And he would go out and he would love them and he would grant them what they needed in their life. He would fulfill a need to bring them into the fold. You recall that when this gentleman received his sight, he only heard Jesus' voice. When he gained his sight, they questioned him and they asked him who this Jesus was. He did not know. He didn't know what he looked like. He didn't know where he was. All he knew is what happened in his life. Basically, brothers and sisters, when you and I share our witness concerning Jesus, all we have to share is once we were lost, now we are found. And if we need to talk about that, we can talk about that. We can talk about living out in the darkness, living out in the world, being in the world and of the world and what that was like, and how Jesus came to us and saved us from being in the world and saving us out of the world to go back into the world and to share the good news. We can share those stories about ourselves. They're fresh in our minds. We're to remember those stories. Those are good stories. And regardless if people believe us or not, that's not our responsibility to make them sound believable or not. Our responsibility is to share the good news. If they believe it, that's their responsibility. Our responsibility is to share it. So Jesus says that he is the good shepherd. He's mine and your shepherd. At one time he wasn't. But when you and I received him as Lord and Savior, we became one of his sheep. And he cares for us. And in the Gospel of John, the emphasis is on who Jesus is. He is our shepherd. And notice what it says about this shepherd. He says, no one takes my life. I want us to reflect back in the Gospel of John when the Roman power came after him. I want you to remember that they did not grab a hold of him and say to him, you're under arrest. They did not take Jesus by force. I want you to recall that. Jesus gave himself over to the Roman authority. Amen. He had the authority and the power to do so, and he did so. That's important to hear. Next, he says, no one takes my life from me. I give it. You will recall on the cross, you and I have heard how the suffering and the pain of those who were up on the cross, the nails in their hands and their feet, how they would eventually not be able to breathe and their lungs would collapse, and by hanging there, the mode of crucifixion would kill them. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you today that the crucifixion did not kill Jesus. Jesus chose when to die, and he died when he chose to. That's important to know. That's important to know. Do you know why? Because if it's not, then we've got people out here saying that the Romans killed him. That the Jews killed him. That you and I killed him. No. No one killed him. He had the authority to give his life, and he did. He had the authority to die, and he did. But he also had the authority to take his life back. He had the authority to raise himself back again, and that he did. Now, that's important to know, because if we don't know that, then as far as we know, Jesus is dead. He's still in the tomb somewhere. They went to the wrong tomb. It was empty because they went to the wrong tomb. They went to the wrong place. They were so sorrowful, they forgot where Jesus was buried. So as far as we know, Jesus is dead. Well, if that's what we believe, but we are greatly deceived if that's what we believe. For the scriptures tell us time and time again that he revealed himself to his disciples. Not always did they realize that that's who he was, but eventually they caught on as to who this person was walking beside them. He's mine and your shepherd. Is he your shepherd? I hope he's your shepherd. He's my shepherd. There's a lot of times I don't want him to be my shepherd. There's a lot of times I just want him to let me go and do whatever it is that I want to do. Say what I want to say, be what I want to be, but you can't be God's sheep and be that way. If he's your shepherd, you've got to go in the way in which he has you to go. You got to lead, you've got to follow, you got to say what he wants you to say. Today, there's a little boy in our 9 o'clock class. It's Wendy and Joe Madison's little boy. He's got a broke arm. And Dr. Scoggins had an interesting question for him today that I just thought was priceless. He said to him, "Can you sing with a broken arm?" Well, we all smiled about that. But oh my gosh, that was a deep question for me. Brothers and sisters, can we sing broken? Can we stand here in church and sing hymns knowing that we are broken, in need of a shepherd, in need of guidance and direction, knowing that we are people who cannot exist without a shepherd, and still stand and sing the hymns that says we are forgiven, we are his, eternal life is ours, we belong, and no one can take that from us. Can we sing in our brokenness? The world would say that we're hypocrites for singing in our brokenness. But brothers and sisters, Jesus would say that we are saved. That's evidence that we are saved when you and I can stand and we can live and we can proclaim in the midst of our brokenness that we are his children. The good thing about being broken, brothers and sisters, is light can get in those broken places and can begin to mend us and to save us and to restore us and to redeem us. I ask you today on this Shepherd Sunday, are you looking for a shepherd? Are you looking for somebody to guide you and to lead you? Are you looking for somebody who can give you life meaning and purpose and who will show you how to live that will make your life worth living? If you're here seeking that today, his name is Jesus. call upon His name today, because the Bible says that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anyone who confesses their sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to wash us from all unrighteousness. He is someone who can put you and me in our place, a place of restoration, a place of salvation, a place where you and I are in relationship with God and neighbor and self. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but there's no better day when I know that I'm in relationship with my family, especially my wife. I'm glad when I wake up and I know Mary's going to talk to me. I know that she's going to say good morning to me. I know that when I talk to her, she's going to receive what I have to say. But I know that if I mess up, I know that it's not going to be in the same spirit as if we're in relationship. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Huh? One of the challenges is to love those that can be sometimes unlovable. And I fit that description many, many times. That's why love is not a noun. It's a verb. And sometimes loving people doesn't feel good. And sometimes being loved by the Lord doesn't feel good. For He wants us to be directed to where He is and to be in relationship with Him and neighbor and ourselves. And sometimes that comes by confessing that we haven't done everything that we know we should do. That sometimes we try and take the shortcut or take the road that is oftentimes traveled. And we know it's going to end bad, and yet we do it anyway. But thank God His Holy Spirit is present with us. And when we mess up, He is there to say, "You've messed up. Let's begin again." May we pray. Almighty God, we are Your sheep, and You are our shepherd. It is our desire, O Lord, that when we can influence other sheep by being obedient to our shepherd, that might send out a message that when people see that we are obedient to the Lord, that would inspire all persons who are not obedient to be obedient, who have never made a decision to make a decision. We know, O Lord, that is not in our power to create that change, but it is Your Holy Spirit bearing witness through us to their spirit. Help us, O Lord, that as we go from this place, that we go where You lead us. For You are a blessed thought. You are our shepherd, and we are Your sheep. We pray forever and ever and ever. And may the people of God say together, Amen. May the Lord go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, beneath you to lift you from your sorrows, within you to give you the gifts of faith, hope, and love, and always before you, to show you the way. Amen.